Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Have you ever been misunderstood for something you collect, whether it be records, pressed pennies, or fountain pens? Have your collections ever interfered with your personal relationships? Collecting is an art as much as an obsession, and author William Davies King has made this the subject of his new work, Collections of Nothing. In it, he chronicles his life as a compulsive collector and how he found a way to make the habit functional through artistic expression. He joins me now on WNYC. William Davies King, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
So when did you start collecting, and what did you start collecting?
I started collecting, as most collectors do, in the cradle, practically, reaching out for whatever was available. Most all kids collect something, and I, like most, collected stones and sticks and bottles and whatever I could find in the woods. Most people give up that kind of collecting after their childhood, move on to something else, other forms of life. I continued, many people do. Typically it picks up again, late adolescence, and that's more or less when I began collecting and knowing myself to be a collector.
And you started with stamps, right? But you quickly got bored and moved on to the little place stamp here squares?
Yes. I found that there was something terribly oppressive about stamp collecting because there's a great discipline to collecting stamps. You have to be extremely careful with them. You have to handle them in such a way as not to damage them. And I found that at the age of 11 to be just way too much to handle. And so after a certain moment of kind of fussing with that, realizing I didn't have the money to buy the great, beautiful stamps that I might have wanted, I put that aside. And then when I was, I think, about 20 or 21, I pulled out that stamp collection, and I began saving those little squares that you find on bill-paying envelopes, place stamp here, or your postage saves for whatever. That became one of my collections of nothing.
And what are some of your other collections? What are some of the more interesting or bizarre things you've collected?
Probably the most bizarre and the most oppressive and huge of all my collections would be product labels. And I more or less save all the product labels that I come across, that is, unique ones, not duplicates. So I have at this point, 1,800 cereal boxes and 900 soup can labels. And even that might sound ordinary, but then I have everything else in between. I have blueberry labels and cat food can labels and all sorts of things.
We want to hear
even
from...
that might sound like a bit of a cultural project, but my collection is not about trying to accumulate every soup can label or making trades or buying things on eBay. Instead, it's just I just collect what I come across in my life.
We want to hear from you. Are you a collector? Are you ashamed of your obsession with baseball cards or Wheaties boxes? Has it ever interfered with your personal life? Give us a call at 646-778-3729. That's 646-SPUD-RAY. So there are art collectors, stamp collectors, and then there's your type of collecting. Have you thought of ways of breaking these out, of classifying these different styles and what distinguishes them?
Well, there is a wide spectrum. You can go all the way from hoarding, which is truly a psychological condition. It's listed in the diagnoses that are available as an obsessive compulsive disorder. Hmm. So people who have piles and piles of newspaper and plastic bags and that sort of thing, that's the outer limit of that. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you might call something like research a kind of collecting. Any scholar is going to collect documents and data of some sort or another and is going to eventually use that to write a book or write an article. And then many of them will throw that material away. So that's a kind of collecting that is purely utilitarian, serving a larger end. And I'm in between. The collecting is the end in itself.
And what distinguishes the value? Is it the eye of the beholder that puts a value on, say, the collection at Bopes Library at NYU versus your collection of Glamour Puss fish and liver flavor cat food labels?
You pick your game. And some collectors pick a game that puts them in the ballpark with people who are very concerned with value. And in some cases, a collector might verge on being just a dealer or a broker, someone who has a lot of Hitchcock furniture just because that's valuable furniture and eventually could be resold at a profit. That's not what I would exactly call collecting. That's dealing.
Hmm.
And then there are others who collect things where the value is high. In other words, the rarity and the price drives up the value. But where they're collecting it for a higher end, perhaps to understand, you collect Rembrandt prints in order to get a deeper understanding of Rembrandt as a printmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a reason to be in that high end. A reason to be in the low end is not having the money to collect Rembrandt prints.
We are taking your calls at 646-778-3729, 646-SPUDRAY. Jeffrey from Chelsea, you're on WNYC. Good morning. Oh, I'm sorry. Jeffrey, Linda from Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. Yeah, I collect my cat's hair, and I can't seem to stop doing it. When I found the cat downstairs, best thing I ever found in the trash was this cat. And I started giving him a good brush down, and all of this hair came off of him, and I was collecting it so it wouldn't roll around the house. And then it compressed and compressed and compressed until it made this perfect ball about the size of a baseball. And I saved that one. And then I started noticing when I shampooed my hair that I would have all this hair. And so I started rolling my hair into balls. And then when I went to the hairdresser, I said, can I please have the hair? And then we put it in a bag, and then I carried it home, and then it turned into like sort of a nest in the bottom of the bag. So then I had all these hairballs in this nest. And then my studio mate next door, her husband makes sculptures that are very like this, and they're wonderful. His are made out of granite. They're really cool.
Yours are made out of hair. What do your neighbors and friends think?
Well, now I'm kind of collecting the responses. The actors all gag, and like I handed it to this one girl, and I said, oh, check this out, because she refuses to hold it, right? So the next actor that came over, I put it in his hand, and I said, look at this, and he's like, oh, what is it? And I said, it's my cat's hair. He dropped it. They both had this like gagging response to this hair. And then I handed this sculpture that I had made that looked like my friend's sculpture to the sculptor, and he was like, oh, this is so beautiful, thank you, and he gave me a big hug. In the meantime, though, this hair never stops coming. What am I going to do with all this hair?
Well,
I have Ziploc bags full of it.
It sounds like it's a question. I think you've talked about this, William Davies King, about dealing with your collection compulsion by converting it into artistic expression. Explain how that happened for you.
Well, I was very interested in art and expression. I'm a professor of theater in California, so I've been very interested in the arts since I was a kid. And I had always thought there might be some marvelous way to combine my collecting with art making. And eventually I discovered that the word collage and the word collecting have the same root. They both essentially mean to stick things together. And so I have, through my life, done various forms of collage, including scrapbooking. But more recently, I've done a collage that is really meant to be seen as an artwork in itself. But it certainly involves a collecting element. And you can find quite a number of other artists like Joseph Cornell and perch fitters and people like that
William Davies King. We have to leave it at that. Thank you so much. He is the author of Collections of Nothing, published by University of Chicago Press. Thank you for joining us here on WNYC.
Thank you very much.
And the conversation continues online at WNYC.org. Click on the Brian Lehrer Show. Let us know what you collect and why, and if it has crossed that dusty line from collection to compulsion. This is WNYC New York.